Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio, the official podcast of Champions League finalist Liverpool Football Club fans. I'm Paul Major, I'm joined in Rome Airport by Mr. Chris Major.
Hi.
Hi. We've not had a lot of sleep. You're struggling at the moment?
Yeah, I've hit a wall big time. I've eaten about just a 10-ounce steak for breakfast with a load of mushroom gnocchi. And I'm desperately fighting off a food coma.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to hit the wall at some point. I feel reasonably fresh. Apologies for the noise. It sounds like we're murdering children. It's not the case. They're doing that to themselves. We just happen to be sat nearby.
Sat here laughing.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is the morning after the night before, really. And
sometimes I feel shame the morning after, but not today.
No, that was after the food. Absolutely phenomenally. I've only just watched the highlights back, and I felt on edge when I sat down to put them on, because let's be honest, Chris, in no normal world would you go back and re-watch the highlights of a game where Liverpool lost 4-2 in the manner in which we lost 4-2.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, 7-6 on aggregate is actually quite
it's a lovely
way to win a game.
It's just such a balmy way to win a game, isn't it? It's just so Liverpool to go and do it, isn't it? I mean, if you'd have said to me before the tie, we're going to score 7 goals, I'm thinking, oh, geez, this. I didn't think we'd concede 6 in the tie. And we were the much better side as well, which was the really baffling thing about it. And, you know, late goals have sort of really hurt us over the last few weeks, haven't they? And those late goals almost caught up to us last season.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was one of those games where when the score was 2-1, it's done and dusted. And you think, yeah. You know, we were talking at half-time, like, let's go and get one more goal here. Let's empty out the Olympico like we've done to the Etihad, like we did to the Dragao. And great, we can start the party, but it was, you know, maybe we should have been a bit more wary of this. You know, I talked a bit in the build-up to the game how if I was Rome, I wouldn't go out at the start of the game. I would try to engineer a situation where with 10 to 15 minutes to go, you needed one or two goals. And it was almost vindicated because our legs fell off massively.
Yeah, they did. And that's just the state of the squad at the moment, isn't it? I mean, the midfield three that are playing in Milner, Wijnaldum and Henderson, they've been playing every game almost because there's nobody else. And the amount of work that they do to be able to free up our front three as well. Yeah. I know the front three work hard and Firmino's rightly lauded for it. But they cannot exist and play at the level they're playing at without three lads behind them doing a lot of graft.
It's no accident that we rotate the midfield heavily. We don't rotate the front line. We get the rotation of the front line tends to come in. Someone comes off at 65 minutes,
yeah.
Someone comes off at 70 minutes, someone comes off at 5 minutes to go. And then they rotate one guy who plays the 90 periodically. the midfield changes, you know, when we have bad fit midfielders, it's changed dramatically. You know, it used to be Emre Can got the European games, Henderson got the domestic games, Oxlade-Chamberlain only really started to play regularly in the back end of the season, etc, etc. So you're damn right, the work rate of those lads. But it was weird because I thought it was quite telling that I thought it was the forwards who looked the most wrecked. I think it was about 65 minutes gone and Bobby Firmino looked absolutely finished. We were talking about it, and yet, you know, the midfield, I thought they stood up wonderfully last night.
I think they did first half. I think second half, for me, they stopped winning the ball back.
Yeah.
And that was the big difference, and maybe something changed. You're 65-70 it feels like. And listen, I've watched highlights, so I can't, I'm telling you from my experience in the game more than anything else, but Henderson started to win the ball back again sort of middle of the half, and I can't remember Wijnaldum, I can't really remember Milner, you know, nipping in and getting the ball like we were first half and stuff. So for me it was very difficult, and we were being overrun in the middle of the park, and you can kind of understand why. You know, back in the day everyone used to play a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
These lads play three, you know, there's three lads to play four positions essentially, and they do have to go wide and they do have to cover, you know, sidelines to sidelines. So, and all the vertical movement as well that goes with it, Milner supporting the attack, Wijnaldum supporting the attack, and you can understand that these lads are going to tire. But you're right, Firmino's legs fell off at probably 65-70. I was really surprised that Mane was the one to be subbed and not Bobby Firmino.
Yeah, it looked very much like, as I said at the time, like Mane's, but yeah, we say we take games in isolation, I think we do until substitute time, and then substitute to inform what we do at the weekend. And I think there was a degree in which they're like, we need one of these guys absolutely as fit and fresh as possible. And Mane was, you're right, it didn't seem the right decision because he looked like the one who was capable of going the full 90. But if it means that he's then sound, if he's then the go-to guy at the weekend, then fair play.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, for me, Mane, I think you
got Man of the Match, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You got it from me after the game, and I don't care about anybody else. For me, it's the way that he was able to bring the ball out from almost defensive positions and run with it, and you know, take a little bit of time and get the ball 30, 40 yards up the pitch, whereas you never really get that from Salah on the other side. You know, that's not part of his remit. He spent loads of time in the number 9 last night, didn't he? And at times it looked like we were playing almost 2 up top, and Firmino was in like a more of a number 10 role, and Salah was charged with stretching the defence and stuff, but we never had that outlet ball, whereas I think maybe if Ox is fit, he's able to provide what Mane was able to provide, but we never had anybody, so we were never relieving pressure. Yeah. We were never just taking five to regroup, get your line set, and then be ready and be set for an onslaught again. That's what I think Liverpool struggled with, just keeping the ball. And
yeah. It was that thing we talked about in Man City, where it was almost a flip reverse of that game in some respects, is that we started off not being able to get over the ball, and then it took us to the end of the first half to get a grip. It was actually, we lost that as the game went on in the Olympico, and we could have just done with. So there's one point where Gini Wijnaldum tries to do it, he tries to bring it down on the edge of the box, and it's the right move, poorly executed. It was a difficult thing to do. He tries to bring it down and bring it out on the right hand side, and that was exactly what we needed. We needed a guy, and Mane was the one who was the best at doing it, as you say, of just take a touch, take two touches, take three touches. You know what? If you can drop the shoulder and go past your man, you're going to relieve so much pressure. And you're right, I think we did struggle to do that a lot, and we ended up playing those too many early balls and hoping, and basically Mohamed Salah ended up, and Firmino actually happened to him a couple of times, ended up just chasing lost causes over the top with, and you know, they're not looking, it's not like they're a fast defence, but particularly Firmino, he's on a hand to not doing that. But I mean, look, let's not get too drawn into it. Let's look at the good performances. I'll start with James Milner. He nearly scores 2 own goals.
Yeah.
But he also does an old school Pro Evo Marseille turn in the middle of the pitch to help us break forward. You know, he's still helping attacks get set up. He's helping out defensively. He comes up with an absolute belt of a line about Radina at the end of the game. James Milner, take a bow.
And then he tweets something like, you know, how do you get rid of a Champions League? Go off your face, anyone know? I mean, the guy's just, he just gets it. And it's mad how just important he's become to this side, especially at a time of the season where you need your leaders to step up, and him and Henderson have sort of grown into the leadership role. And I'm not saying they weren't, but they feel now to me like the entire squad looks up to them and they know that they can rely on them. And him, Jordan Henderson, proper leaders. And, you know, Jordan Henderson's captain does a Champions League final, which is mad, isn't it?
Yeah, the Milner stuff, I love the fact that he was one of a couple of players who just collapsed to the turf at full time.
Him and Van Dijk.
Yeah, and it shows you the effort they put in, but also shows you what it means to him. You know, this is a lad who, again, I've said it a few times, he turned down a new contract at Man City. He'd probably still be at Man City now, albeit, you know, in a much removed bit part thing. He'd have picked up a league title, he'd been part of blah, blah, blah. I'm sure he loves it at Liverpool, but there's something to vindication. There's no way that his mates at Man City are not having a little sly texts and all that, you know what I mean, going, oh, look at our league title, oh, how's it going at Liverpool, blah, 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 blah. And just that thing of just being able to get through that, particularly as well when he scored their own goal, which at the time was funny. You know, he's laughing about it at the time, and in the gift of hindsight, I pissed myself laughing watching that goal back before, because it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. He's got no idea. It's comical. Just him in the head.
It's comical.
It's a great finish.
It's a great finish. Lovren kind of miss-kicks the clearance, doesn't he?
Well,
essentially just smacks him in the face. And Karius doesn't know it's in until it's in, basically. Like, I mean, you couldn't write it, and that's Liverpool defending of old, like a year ago. That happens, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, is this systematic? Is this players? That's the thing, it's not anymore, and it is comical to look back on it. It's one of the greatest own goals in a Champions League semi final you will ever see, if not the greatest ever.
Yeah, just incredible. Like, in the. So, about Trent. Now, there was a guy not too far from us who was just slating him all game long, which I always find baffling. I don't think he had a great game, but at the same time, he's the same argument prevails, is that whenever he has a bad game, it's okay, because
he's
tanty. You know, and whenever he has an exceptional game, we should go, what a talent we've got on our hands. There was moments where you see it was just a Trent performance. I thought he picked out some fantastic passes. He relieved the pressure a lot of times by just playing a pass that look, there's no other right back in our squad who can play those kind of passes. But at the same time, there's a couple where he did try, he was pushing it a bit too much, gives away possession, he gets caught out positionally a couple of times. Now, all that being said, he does basically tip one over the bar as well, so probably gets a bit of credit for that.
Well, that's a great save, isn't it, at the end of the day?
I'm not so sure of that. When you watch the replay back on that, I know his arms are up in the air, like, but he's cowering, isn't he? You know what I mean? He's like...
No, I mean, listen, if a goalkeeper makes that type of save, you're not saying he's cowering, you call it reflex.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, the goalkeeper wouldn't try to turn his entire head and body away from a ball.
You have watched Mignolet before, though, yeah.
Well, yeah, no, well, I said
goalkeeper, yeah.
Sorry, Simon, you don't deserve abuse on a day like this. But yeah,
especially after your Instagram story last night, by the way, if you're listening, Simon, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Spent 10 Instagram things thanking the fans, basically,
amazing.
And saying it's all possible because of us. He's right.
Yeah, so I have to forgive things and trends. All of these things are forgivable because we got through.
Trent is a weird one. I think, again, he's targeted, and I don't think that people are now targeting because they see him as the weak link. I think they're now targeting him because he's inexperienced.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As opposed to being the weak link, do you know what I mean? Like,
which you mean, by proxy, makes him the weak link. They're not targeting
because he's crap. Exactly. They're targeting because he's inexperienced. El Shaarawy, I thought, was, over the course of the 90 minutes, probably their best player. Maybe touch and go with Dzeko, and towards the latter part of the game, I thought Nangolan took over.
Do you want to explain to the people at home what
I'm
happened
so
with
Nangolan thing? Him playing well was totally my fault again.
There's a point where you turned around with about 20 minutes to go and said, really, not been impressed with Nangolan. He's not really been in this game at all.
Yeah, another Niasse moment with Pedro. And then he scored a fucking well.
That was a class finish, absolutely class. And the funniest thing about it is, like, it's a great finish. You see his reaction now, he's just like, he knows it means nothing, he can't celebrate it. They get that penalty at the end. Now, I had no idea at the time, what the fuck? There is no way on earth that is a penalty against Ragnar Klavan. How can you?
I told you, they've penalised him for having arms.
Yeah, it's like, Ragnar, you've got arms, soz, penalty. And he's like, I'm not going to give my arms up.
I blame Andrew Beasley for this one.
Okay.
Face tune said. So if you're listening, Andrew, as I know you do sometimes, it's all your fault. Putting out those stats before the game about, on average, he gives less penalties than any other team and any other referee in the competition, that's on you. The Nangolan stuff's on me. But I'm sharing the blame with you for the penalty.
Yeah, it's terrible. And it's one of those things that I tried to phrase it in my match reaction, but I couldn't quite remember that. I said that the scoreline made it look closer than it was over the two legs, and it was for something my dad had said. And since watching it back, when you consider it, like, yes, you could argue that Luxecho's on side when Karius brings him down, so
and you'd be right if you were arguing
that.
Yeah,
exactly, if you wanted to argue that. I mean, I'd say I could see how you can give offside for that. And you could argue that the Trent is more of a handball, so maybe that's more of a penalty, so you get away with that one. But they've had two pretty dodgy penalties.
Yep.
Like the Milner one in the first game, like, it's not a penalty, and that Clavin one, it's just not a penalty at all. And an own goal to add into that, I'm happy to take the positive side from the Liverpool perspective, is that that game was made closer than it should have been, not necessarily by our own design, but by circumstances. Some of the other thing, if the flip had happened, if we got those penalty decisions or whatever, we'd be talking about how it's our European pedigree, things go well for you, etc., etc. Roman had a great story here. The lead up to it, the way that they come back against Barcelona, the way that they managed to drag themselves to within touching distance of getting themselves to extra time in this game. All fine.
You know what's mad to me is that there seems to be, just judging on Twitter, not Liverpool fans, the football sphere, as it were, the Premier League fans, there seems to be a real lack of respect for what Liverpool have achieved thus far. The fact that I've seen so many times, it's an easy route, or we've got lucky and we've got this and that. You're like, we went and scored goals at the Stadio Olimpico when nobody else did. They knocked Barcelona out, for goodness sakes, we had Sevilla in our group, and yet they knocked Manchester United out. Chelsea go to Roma and couldn't beat them. They deserve to be in the semi-final, just like us.
Yeah. There's a great tweet from Klopocalypse, actually, I saw there. He says, can't believe how lucky Liverpool are to make the Champions League final after having lost one game, scored the most goals, and had the top scoring attack in history for a single Champions League season. Wow, such luck. And then that's it, we are where we are because we ultimately deserve to be where we are. And you get a bit of luck in that. That's the thing. People say, oh, lucky, lucky, lucky. It's not. not solely luck, but it discounts. But I see from Man City fans, it makes me laugh because there's so much fortune that is built into success. You cannot succeed. You cannot win the big piece of silverware without a degree of luck and things going your way. Look at the Man City League title as an example. Even if just pick one instance, even if it's just going back to Sadio Mane getting sent off.
I can go back to the real reason. They were lucky that the owners decided to buy them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And every success is built on the lucky foundation of that.
Exactly, and that's it. You know, and inevitably there's always, you know, think about us getting to the Champions League final in 2005. You know, you've got the ghost goal thing. It's loads of these, you know, if you went back and analysed the games of every team that's gone and won something, whether it's a league title or the European Cup, whatever, there'll be moments where you go, ooh, we got away with that, and they get quickly forgotten. Ultimately, because you go on and win it, and people don't care. That, you know, and that's the history is written by the victors, and that's why people not asked about Man City in that regard, because they've done it fine. It's just a bit of saltiness, it's a bit of bitterness, and because jealousy to some extent, but also there's a degree to which, you know, the jealousy isn't just jealousy of being in the final. I think people are jealous of how we do things. I think people look at their football club and they want to have a laugh at us. They used to laugh at us. They spent, you know, there's kids who are like 18 years old now, 18 to 20 odd, and they've spent their childhood with Liverpool as being a bit of some of the poke fun out and some of the, you know, to have a bit of a laugh at our expense was falling short. And look, that might go to happen.
The deluded scousers.
But you
just believe in their team regardless. What a terrible thing.
No, I know, exactly. And so they don't really know how to process all this, because it's not like we've gotten through, we've blagged our way through. It's not like we've been, you know, dead lucky. We're scoring goals, we're crafting this. And the fact is, we were able to lose that game 4-2 because we won the first game 5-2.
Yeah. Because we blitzed them in a 30-40 minute period where they couldn't live with us. And that's what this Liverpool side have done all season long. And there's a jealousy that comes with all of these other fans, is that, you know, they see what our fan base can produce and they wish, you know what, I wonder if we could produce an atmosphere at our ground, would we do any better?
Because you saw Man City with the streamers and the flags. Arsenal did exactly the same thing for the Atletico game last week. Same flags, different colour, trying to create the same thing. And it looks great, and it did create a lot of noise.
Oh yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, but we don't, you know, we haven't needed that. Look, this is Liverpool as well. We didn't even get to do our normal thing here. We didn't get to go and totally take over the city because we were fear-mongering. And you know, maybe it's justified or not, and it's easy to say that now that we've all gotten home safe. And it was, I thought it was actually, on the whole, I thought it was excellently policed. I didn't feel, you know, on edge at all, while we were there. But we didn't get to build up to the game the way we would normally do it. And in many respects, everything that happened around it should have been served to detract, should have made things more difficult for us. The fact that we couldn't all get together to G ourselves up, when we got the hot, sweaty coach rides to get there, it's queuing outside to get in through 5,000 people through 14 styles, and being just energy sapping, and then just a little bit heavier, a little bit heavy handed with a few people as they went through as well. And these are the things that started.
And adding to the fact that, you know, you're essentially stopping drinking 3 hours, 4 or 5 hours before the game as well, you know, to help the atmosphere. People feel a lot more free to express themselves when they've had a few beers.
Yeah, exactly. And so there were plenty of mitigating circumstances where they tried to cut, whether it was by design or whether it was by necessity, but it could have cut the legs off a lot of the support that we'd given. Once we got into the stadium, that wasn't the case at all. And people will be able to watch the videos, or, you know, they've seen it on our Twitter and the vlogs that I've done on my channel, and Chris has done on the Redmen channel. It was just incredible, and the support was there. And yes, we got nervy, but there was those moments. And what I love most about it is that the way we stand up when it feels like, oh my God, this could slip away from us, and everyone kind of gathers themselves, and just the big chant goes up, and, you know, that's mercifully again, LA, 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 it's just that it's become the hymn, the anthem
this season's campaign. This is, that's the one thing that I remember most from this entire season, you know, the birth of the next great Liverpool chant, and always being able to sing it and sort of just G up our team. Exactly what you want from a chant, isn't it? I mean, it's that, like, the middle section, obviously the LA, the chorus of it and all that, it can get everybody involved. You don't need everybody to sing everywhere, but in the away end, I said every single person, every single word, and wanted to sing it. So they can see the goal, and it's like, fuck it. Listen to this shit.
Yeah,
this will sort out our lads.
And it was telling that I thought you saw the players come over. They got the Sean Cox banner, which Henderson got it, which is incredible. Jürgen coming out after his press conference. Trent and Woodburn coming out to do a bit of a clap and all that kind of stuff. You can see.
Comes straight from Glasgow there, doesn't he?
No, but the synergy's there. It's perfect, and I can't wait for Kieran.
I said on my match reaction, I said that's my Liverpool. Yeah. That is everything, from the captain getting that banner about Sean Cox, to the way that the team's able to fight through adversity, to the way that the manager gets it. That is my Liverpool. I couldn't want for anything more as a fan of a football club. They've got everything that I want. That, you know, and maybe, you know what, maybe they'll get the European Cup that I want as well. But that would just top it all off, right? And we're on for success here under this manager. Three finals and three seasons. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous what this guy's able to do with buttons compared to everybody else.
Gonna have to do that now, unfortunately, guys. Listening home, but yeah, look, phenomenal. Yeah, what a guy, what a manager. And as you say, the fact that look what we've done, we haven't had the ultimate success yet. There is a guy who inherited a Brendan Rodgers team that had fallen off a cliff, that had no more dynamism, it didn't have goals, it didn't have players who were hungry for the cause anymore. And he's come in, he's reinvigorated that. And you know, in 3 years, as you say, to go to two European finals in that time. He's genuinely astounding, and you know what, yes, it was disappointing that it was the Europa League, but if that becomes the springboard, that's the learning point for us to go on and do something more. Sure, why not? And I love all the omens. I love the fact that we've beat nothing but teams in white kits in European finals. I like the fact that Real Madrid don't look quite the team that they once were, albeit still dangerous.
Can I just say though, Zidane's never been beaten in the Champions League as a manager, or never been knocked out, sorry.
There we go. Well, there you go. That's important to know.
First time, little record, mate.
First time for everything. Listen, guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Of course, get on to the rest of the podcast content. There's the man of the match up there. Tom's been holding down the fort spectacularly back home. We'll be back with more stuff. Go and check out the vlogs. Soak it up. Enjoy it, mates. This Liverpool, our Liverpool, going to Kiev for the chance of winning number 6.
Said my Liverpool, not our Liverpool.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.